Welcome back, truth seekers. You have landed in the right spot. This is Truth or Propaganda Podcast with your hosts, Eric Koblick and Brittany Lucent. Thanks for joining us again, guys. We have a ton of information to share with you. I feel like time is moving faster and information is flooding in faster than I could even keep up with it. Of course, first, I'd like to give a shout out to all of our wonderful, loyal listeners. I just love watching those numbers grow, those subscriptions, those downloads. The support on social media is incredible, and it just makes my heart happy because I really feel like we are moving towards an awakening, moving towards a world that is based on love and cooperation instead of war and competition. And that's awesome. And I think that we're like a little family. So I love my Truth Seeker family. Thanks for joining us. And we're really seeing lots of numbers over in Africa. I noticed a upload in the downloads over there. Of course, North America is showing up in drones. We've got a 58% uptick in subscriptions there. New York, New York, Kansas, thinking about you guys over in Kansas. We definitely are growing in Ontario. Thank you, Canadians. We appreciate all of you. British Columbia, good old New Jersey, showing up for us. Thank you. And of course, we're still going over in Australia and the United Kingdom. We want to make sure we give you guys a shout out too. So keep up the good work, keep up the truth, keep up the love and the joy and the light that you're spreading, because you know that's the only way it's going to change. It's the only way we're going to make it better for our future generations. So with that, let's segue into some weird stuff that's going on in the world. Colorado, they recently just passed a law that banned the commercial use of people's brain data and thoughts. And, you know, this is the first law that has gone into effect to protect brainwaves. Really has to make you think, you know, what we've talked about in previous podcasts, how they are, you know, when I say they, I mean the powers that be, the ones that really run things. They're after our humanity. They're after our humanness. And, you know, it's so precious, our data and our brainwaves and everything that makes us human. It can be easily taken over with all of this technology and this AI. And you know, in this world that we live in, a lot of times they're belittling the beauty of humanness because they want to make it easier to put those chips in. You know, a young kid might say, why not put a chip in my head? It makes it easier for me to play my video games. Don't do it. Don't fall for it. And good for you, Colorado. I'm glad you're paving the way, passing that law. That's awesome. Another thing I read about that I found was interesting is that scientists have recently developed a liquid that allows shape-shifting robots to basically manipulate in and out of cages and through vents and, you know, very like the Terminator. It's called a metafluid. So that's kind of terrifying. Might want to look into that a little bit more, truth seekers. And Japan, over in Japan, they're always doing cool things. They have actually created something that allows gravity to be defied. So they basically are levitating objects. And I'm betting that it is utilizing something that us truth seekers here on Truth Propaganda are quite familiar with. But I'm sure it has something to do with frequency and sound. So that's pretty cool. And I don't think they always tell us the things when they figure them out. They tell us the things when they want us to know them. So if they've done that, they've probably done a lot more than that. And then a statistic just came out, and it used to be car accidents were the number one cause of death in America, but that has just been surpassed with pharmaceuticals. So let's take a moment to really let that sink in. Our healthcare system is actually the biggest cause of death. So yeah, I'm just gonna leave that right there. And with that, we are going to jump into a doozy again, because, you know, I only like doozies. If it's not a doozy, it's not worth talking about. And today we're going to talk about the Matrix. And I've tapped into it a little bit before in a previous episode talking about how we live in a simulation. But More and more through my research and through what I study with the latest metaphysical developments, there's a lot of evidence that we are living in a simulation and that we are in the matrix. And I'd like to kind of touch base on what that evidence is today, break it down into 15 reasons, and kind of talk a little bit about how we can rise above and hold on to our humanness in this wide world of craziness that we are currently living in. So that's our topic for today, and let's dive in. So today I will be pulling from Vulture, and I'll also be pulling from The Alchemist and the Harvard Archives in their Library for Metaphysical Research. So are we living in a matrix-like computer simulation of reality? You know, I have a very, you know, strong opinion about it. You know, there's a lot of evidence ranging from plausible to semi-plausible to, you know, not so plausible, or at least something that we really can't wrap our brain around. And, you know, I think ever since the movie The Matrix came out, it's kind of planted that seed. And I do think that everything that we consume as far as entertainment and media is planting seeds for some reason or another. But let's just go down a list here of things that I have put together that kind of support the simulation, the Matrix theory. So one of those is the Mandela Effect. So the Mandela Effect, it got the name because some people claim to remember TV coverage of Nelson Mandela's death in the 1980s, even though he actually died in 2013. So that Mandela Effect is therefore supposedly proof that whoever is in charge of our simulation is kind of manipulating and changing the past. There's a lot of other examples of this. There's the Berenstein Bears, the Berenstein Bears, spelled differently. And most recently, they're talking about how the bandana is missing from that exercise guru with the crazy hair. Richard Simmons, that's who it is. So, yeah, there's a lot of different evidence out there that will support this Mandela Effect theory. There's that 1990s movie called Shazam, which starred the comedian Sinbad as a genie that apparently cannot be found anymore. So, you know, it's an interesting, plausible theory of the simulation. And then, you know, of course, we have all of the missing aliens, right? We've spent billions sending probes through outer space. And, you know, you think that they would have found this evidence and shared it with us, right? But that's trickling in, right? It's not happening very fast. So it's almost suggests that we live in a simulation that these aliens have figured out how to escape from. And maybe the computer we're in only has enough RAM to simulate one planetary civilization at a time. It's possible. Or maybe they're all coming from under the ocean. And that's why we need to stop looking up, people. Maybe we need to start looking down in the ocean. I listened to an interesting Tucker Carlson interview on Joe Rogan about that the other day. And I think that is very plausible that we have just been looking in the wrong direction all this time. So another number three for evidence is that electrons, they can't make up their minds, right? In physics, there's this famous double slit experiment, which, oh, truth seekers, please, please, please go online, DuckDuckGo, the double slit experiment. And basically what this experiment did is it took electrons and they fired them at a photosensitive screen through slits in a copper plate. And usually producing an interference pattern, you know, that indicates like this wave-like behavior, right? But when the same experiment is conducted under observation with people watching it, the electrons behave like particles, not waves. There's no interference in the pattern. Some have taken this to mean that our simulation is conserving its resources and rendering certain things only when it knows we're looking at them. So if it's not being observed, it doesn't exist. Very interesting. And then there's also DNA that contains a computer virus, right? In 2017, a multidisciplinary group of researchers at the University of Washington actually proved that they could embed malicious computer code into physical strands of DNA. Telling you people, we are coded. Their aim was to show that computers working in gene sequencing were vulnerable enough to attack. And they also may have inadvertently revealed that what we perceive to be a biological reality was in fact computer code all along. Now, I mentioned this in a previous podcast where Neil deGrasse was interviewing some top metaphysical scientists, and they were magnifying the dark matter that is up in our universe. And they said when you got really close and magnified it, they saw computer code, zeros and ones. So literally that dark matter that's up in our universe is computer codes. Think about that, people. Let that resonate with you. So let's talk a little bit about climate change, right? How convenient that our civilization just coincidentally set on the cusp of environmental chaos. You know, it suggests that we could be an ancestor simulation created in hopes that we would show our creators how to solve this energy crisis, right? And this theory overlaps slightly with the aliens as simulation quitters theory above, right? They just started a new civilization. But if we found an innovation to climate crisis, the extraterrestrials beings, they might return, you know, and take advantage of those results because we solved the problem. Then there's another theory about the video games that look like real life, right? We eventually finish all the levels of the video games and we just combine into AI. We give up our humanness. And, you know, Elon Musk is a huge believer in this. And it's called Nick Bostrom's simulation hypothesis. And it's basically that if humanity can survive long enough to create technology capable of running convincing simulations of reality, it will create many such simulations. And therefore, there will be lots of simulated realities and only one base reality. So statistically, it's probably more likely that we live in a simulation right now. And that's further proof that we live in the matrix. You know, this is according to Musk, because there are video games out there these days that are just amazing, right? That's like the proof. And back in 2016, Musk actually explained that 40 years ago, we had Pong. This is a direct quote from Musk. 40 years ago, we had Pong, two rectangles and a dot. Now, 40 years later, we have photorealistic 3D with millions playing simultaneously. So if you assume any rate of improvement at all, then all games will become indistinguishable from reality, even if that rate of advancement only drops from 1,000 from what it is now. It's a given that we're clearly on a trajectory that we're going to have games that are indistinguishable from reality. It would seem to follow that the odds that we are in a base reality is one in billions, unquote. So, you know, like I said, Elon Musk is all over the place, but I do give the man a lot of credit and a lot of clout. And then another reason why we are possibly in this crazy matrix is all the weird news, all the things that are just kind of like quirks and, you know, one of these things is not like the other, you know, it just doesn't make sense. You know, some have proposed that these crazy unlikelihoods, you know, including like Donald Trump's presidency, Brexit, mix-ups and things that happen in very public shows like the Oscars and the Grammys and Super Bowl comebacks and just a lot of things that are just in our face could mean that we're kind of malfunctioning in this simulation. And, you know, whoever's pushing the buttons might just be like screwing with us, right? And then, of course, there's always the quirks in the computer coding itself. There is a physicist, and his name's James Gates, and he claims that he has identified what appears to be an actual computer code embedded in the equations of string theory. And those codes describe the fundamental particles of our universe, right? That's a little bit what I was talking about earlier. He says that he found error-correcting codes and that they're making the web browsers, which are us, work. So why were they in the equation that he was studying about electrons and supersymmetry? Interesting. So it makes you kind of question, you know, why does our universe have rules in the first place, right? If we're in this video game. So MIT cosmologist Max Tegmark, he actually pointed to our universe's strict laws of physics as possible evidence that we live in a video game. So he said, if I were a character in a computer game, I would also discover eventually that the rules seemed completely rigid and mathematical. In this theory, the speed of light, which is the fastest rate at which any particle can travel, represents the speed limit for transmitting information within the network of our simulation. So that's like the cap, that's like the rules, a lot like a video game, right? You have rules, you have certain things and confines that you must stay within. And then there's the fact that it's not actually possible to prove that we're not living in a simulation. So let's put that out there. It may be easier to prove that we're living in a simulation than it is to prove that we're not. And a nuclear physicist, Zohra Davardi, he actually believes that cosmic rays, the most energetic particles known to man, would appear as pixel-like chunks if we are within a simulation, and unending beams if we're in a base reality. Meanwhile, NYU philosopher David Chalmers, he doubts it's possible to prove that we don't live in the Matrix. He said, you're not going to get proof that we're not in a simulation because any evidence that we could present could be simulated. Very interesting. And then there's the Goldilocks zone. I don't know if you guys ever heard of this, but it states that Earth exists within what astrobiologists call a Goldilocks zone, okay? And that's close enough to a star that greenhouse gases can trap heat to keep liquid water, but far enough away that the planet does not become a, sauna or a hothouse. And that we live in such an orbital sweet spot that circumstantial evidence is for a simulation. If our sim designers wanted us to succeed, it makes sense that they'd place us in such a cushy environment, right? We are just like so perfectly placed, and if one little thing is off center, life would cease to exist as we know it. And then there's, the theory that it kind of makes a lot more sense than, ghosts, right? Paranormal. Paranormal events are not hauntings or alien encounters, but they're actually glitches in the simulation. This theory is one of the more explored theories that you can find if you look on Reddit, and you look up, different searches on, I say Google, but I hope you're not still using Google, truth seekers. I hope we've moved on from that. So if you're DuckDuckGoing things, things like glitch in the Matrix or are we living in a simulation, this idea pops up a lot. So it's basically like saying that instead of seeing all of these things that we think we see, ghosts and alien encounters, it's just a glitch. It's just entering a new part of the video game. And elevators are a frequent setting for glitch stories, right? You always see these like things happening where I jump between floors. It's like almost like they're jumping between dimensions. And it's interesting. It's definitely a possibility. And then, we already know what the bricks of our matrix are, right? According to simulation believers, we may have already found the pixel-sized building block of the universe. The Planck length, the point at which our concepts of gravity and space-time, they no longer apply. If our world is simulating, then the Planck length would be equivalent to one bit of information or a pixel. And then we've already gotten pretty good at making simulations, right? Like Elon Musk said, we started with Pong and we've come pretty far and we're getting even better. I mean, we just talked about how scientists have developed a metafluid of liquid that allows shape-shifting robots. So, I mean, it's only going up from here. And back in 2014, there was a Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics. And what it did is it connected 8,000 computers to create a 350 million light year simulation of our universe. And it digitally aged it over 13 billion years. That The Sims video game franchise has sold over 125 million copies in its first decade, it kind of shows that we're interested in playing with these simulations too. And if and when a future version of humanity finds themselves with the ability to create more realistic simulations, it wouldn't be a surprise if they opted to use it, right? I mean, think about that. And then there's the old Yanny versus Laurel. So I don't know if you guys remember this, but back in 2015, the world flipped out, right? Because we all looked at that same photo of that blue dress, or was it a gold dress? What did you think? And there was the Yanny Laurel fiasco of 2018, where there was the gold and white flip-flop debate, right? So say what you will about pitch and volume and color saturation, these controversies made one thing clear, and that each of us is living in our own world. Each of us has our own perspective. Seriously, what we perceive as reality is in fact partly a simulation created by our brains. We are creating our world using our past experiences, and that helps us to process the fragments of data that we're receiving. And we put it all together the best we can, and we try to figure it all out, but that's basically what we're doing. We are creating our own life, our own consciousness. And that's why it's so important to, start things with a grateful mindset. Start things in your head that are full of love and kindness and inclusiveness. And, that is going to be what your reality is. And there's no better proof than that than, let's say you hang out with a bunch of negative, miserable people. Guarantee they're going to rub off on you. You're going to be negative and miserable too. So, there's little things and little tidbits of proof all around us that we create our reality. But I know that we are constantly being fed with media and with entertainment and with distractions to kind of like not allow us to see that. So it's hard to focus sometimes and really create the world that we want to live in when they're battling against us so that we don't create the world that we want to live in. And the reality is that living in this unified conscious state, it doesn't mean that there's not going to be problems, there's not going to be tension, there's not going to be, opposites. There always has to be the up, the down, the black, the white, the yin, the yang. We are a binary universe. It has to be that way. And that also supports the simulation theory because there's bad and good in a video game, right? And I think a great way to kind of put it in perspective for humanity is look at it in karma, right? Like a recycling factor. And that karma that we put out there can help us reach higher levels of consciousness. And, when we process a trauma, when we work out a trigger, when we learn the lessons that we're supposed to learn, it elevates us to a higher level of frequency. It gets us to a vibrational state that is more positive, that is meeting us on the level where we are. So, every time you make a good choice, every time you work something out, every time you heal, it's literally bringing your vibration up. So if you notice that as your vibration rises, some things start to fall out of your life, maybe some relationships, maybe some things that you used to enjoy sort of fall by the wayside because you're not vibrating at that level anymore. Our central nervous system is responsible for like a whole variety of things, right? Including our stress response, our regulation, our gut health, our mental health. And during our childhood, that central nervous system is learning these patterns. It's coding us, right, from the environment around us. And it will continue. It tends to mimic these patterns right into adulthood. And if you end up having a stable adulthood, then your central nervous system will learn and it will crave those coded familiar patterns of stability and calm. But if your childhood was chaotic, unpredictable, or unstable, then your central nervous system instead learns the ups and downs associating with things like dopamine highs, adrenaline highs, serotonin lows. These are the patterns that your central nervous system craves, that you are coded with from a very young age. And they will deliberately seek out those patterns right into adulthood unless you recode yourself, unless you recognize them and you recode yourself. So there's so much that your brain, is capable of. We are so amazingly magical. And I feel like if we could just all tap into that magic and we come together with this collective consciousness and all of the coding that we put out there is for positivity, then I mean the change will be palpable. We will definitely be able to rise above all of the negativity and the bull crap that our world is pushing on us, is coding us with. It's just about overcoming. It's about, healing and becoming stronger. So even if we're in a simulation, if we're not in a simulation, the bottom line is this: we have to heal, we have to grow, we have to love, We have to vibrate higher. We have to meet the world where it needs to be met. And that is in a state of love. That is a state of higher consciousness. So, fellow truth seekers, I am going to wrap up this doozy of an episode, still leaving some things on the table that I will want to discuss in a future episode, but I think we covered a lot to kind of digest right now. So I'm going to leave you with these facts, leave you with these ideas to kind of simmer with and think about. And I would love to hear from you guys. You know, I really cherish every idea, every follower, every like, everything that you guys do to support this this mission. It really is a mission. So please like, please download, please subscribe. If you have an idea for the show, email us truthorpropaganda@gmail.com. And I'd also like to put out there, we did get some winners for the subscription contest, and I'll also put it out there again. The next 10 subscribers that subscribe to the podcast, send us your address, send us the proof of the subscription. We'll mail you a Truth or Propaganda t-shirt and some other cool swag. So till next time, truth seekers, we'll keep doing the research, we'll keep presenting the facts, and we'll let you decide if it's truth or propaganda. Bye.